Greetings in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there is anything more joyful, it is to be together and celebrate the Lord's table. It is not something to be sorrowful. We must celebrate. And I was sharing somewhere, the Jewish festival. They had many festivals during the Jewish time. And they followed every festival to the T. Especially the Passover. And when they celebrate, they celebrated with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of joy, singing and waving and all that. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, can you tell me what is the festival we celebrate? Nobody is answering. Okay, because you may say the wrong thing. You know what do we celebrate? The Lord's table. We can call it festival or whatever it is. It is a time to celebrate because we can say, what a Savior. What a Savior. And we will celebrate this eternally. Now he has put, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has put eternity into our hearts. And it will be here temporarily. And then eventually into the eternal state. What privileged people we are. That's why the Lord's table is a time of joyful celebration. Not sorrowful. However, we remember his death till he comes. This is Alan Schofield here. And I have been with Cornerstone Assembly for many, many years. I used to keep traveling from Canada, Vancouver to India. And I always wanted a church or a place of gathering. When I say church, I'm not talking about a building. Gathering. And then somehow I know Brother Isha Jacob from a very long time. Since they acquainted with my sister in the Baptist Hospital for a very, very long time. So I used to come here. And I had some wonderful time. So most of you brothers and sisters, you know me. The rest, when we have some coffee and tea, we'll talk about it. You want any questions, you can ask me. Okay. So I'm going to share God's word, which is in my heart. There will be a lot of theology in this. Because without theology, not when I say lots, I mean don't get worried. Without the theology, we can't understand God's word. Theology and doctrine go side by side. We must. If we don't, we'll be very shallow Christians. Because we won't know who God is. So, today the message is what? Who is our God? Who is your God? Who is my God? If I ask you the question, I'm sure you will say something. Let us understand it a little more in a better perspective. Okay. So, I would like to pray before we open God's word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time that you have given us to remember your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his coming again. And we open your word and help us. In and through the Lord Jesus and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Can somebody give me a definition of who is God? God. Humanly, we cannot define God. But humanly, we can define God. I'm not playing with words. Because humanly, we need to define God. Because we are humans. So if I ask you, who is God? Because every... Danny? Don't know. Because everybody says God, God, God. You go to a Muslim, he'll say Allah is my God. You go to a Hindu, 100 gods. Everybody is saying God, 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 but who's the true God? Confusing. You go to a Hindu and tell the Hindu, He said, one God. Many, many ways. Jesus is one of the way. It's very difficult to convince a Hindu until unless God opens his heart. Oh, heart. It is very difficult to open a Roman Catholic's heart. Why I say it? Because I was also a Roman Catholic. They have all the benefits, Jesus, Lord, Father, all this they have. But they don't know the depths of being born again and becoming the children of the living God. So in humanly, when we define God, we can define God as a superior being, unapproachable, holy, impossible to approach, full of glory, majesty, splendor, compassionate. We can add the attributes: forgiving, loving, kind, providing, protecting. So we can say God is love, but love is not God. God is love. Understand? There's a big difference. Don't idolize love. Love is not God. God is love. That is his attribute. Beloved, we must declare his attributes. I have found in churches, we don't declare his attributes. We just use the word worship. Worship is something where we must declare, the church must declare. The heavens declare. Why are we not declaring? Haven't we not tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Why are we afraid to declare the attributes of God? We must. Because that is worship, which comes from within, through the Holy Spirit, through the Lord Jesus, to the throne of grace, the glory of God the Father. Let me go quickly because I don't have much time. There are different world views and religions and revelations. The seven major world views are as follows: atheism, polytheism, pantheism, panatheism, finite godism, deism, and theism. You are confused, right?
Didn't even understand what I was saying. I just went by saying.
Beloved, this is the problem. Seven ideologies in this world. And all of them say, what? What do they say? Huh? They say that they are all right. They all have the truth. They say you don't have the truth. So, when we are fighting a war, we are fighting a war of what? Ideology. My goodness gracious. And the fight of ideology is in the church also. What a sad situation. We all have different ideologies. We all have different interpretations of the scripture. We all have, no, you're wrong, I'm right, he's right. We fight and we argue and this thing and that thing. What happens? The blessed Holy Spirit is grieved. I'm not talking about Kairos, okay? I'm talking in general. So please don't catch me when I go for tea. Did you understand? Everybody is right. You want to listen to this? The Roman Catholics are 1.7 billion. The Eastern Orthodox is 240 million. The African Initiated Church is 110 million. The Pentecostal is 105 million. The Reformed Church is 75 million. The Anglican Epicost is 73 million. The Baptist is 70 million. The Methodist is 70 million. The Brethren is 1.5 million.
Oh, how that?
Then the Lutheran is 64 million. Spiritism is 15 million. Jehovah's Witness is 14.8 million. Later Saints Days is 12.5 million. Seventh-day Adventists is 12 million. Apostolic New Old is 10 million. Restoration Movement and Mennonites. And the fastest growing religion in the world today is Mormonism. Now, how many denominations did I say? 32 denominations, my dear friend, in the Christian circle, and they all say they are right.
What a tragedy.
What a tragedy. Who's wrong? Who's wrong? That is why there are splits. You know why there are splits? Because I said I am right, you didn't agree, so I split. Very simple. What is it, brother? So simple it is. Form another group. Have you heard of Quakers? Quakers, have you heard? Have you heard? Huh? Anybody?
Dot Oates.
This is a section of people who are praising God. See, immediately I knew you will say Oates. Quakers. They are also part of the Christian one denomination. In America. So let us go to the text. The text for today is, before I go to the text, I'm going to ask you something. There are seven wonders in the world physically, and there are seven wonders in the Bible. I'm going to ask you the quiz. You fail or pass, we'll see. What is the greatest wonder? We are all sitting over here. And if you don't tell me what is the greatest wonder in the Bible, then there's a problem. See, the question is, you know what? What is the greatest wonder? I'm going to tell you now. Okay? Teach it to your children. Teach it to your grandchildren. Teach it to anybody and everybody. The greatest wonder of the Bible is the Bible. What? What? Say it loudly. It's the Bible. Because that's the word of God. What is written here is not important. But who wrote it is important. And that is why we don't worship the Bible. We worship God through the Bible. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. Written by men. Not of the men's will, but out of the will and purpose of God through the Holy Spirit. So the greatest of all wonders is the Bible. Never leave it. Never get rid of it. Be with it always. Read it and see the love story of God in the Bible. And having said so, I'm going to open the verse in the Bible, or the first verse in the Bible. What is it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who is our God? Now let me put a little theology into it. In the beginning means not the beginning of God. The beginning of what? Huh? The world. So here it says, in the beginning God. Who is this God? This God is the triune God. Who? If you don't believe the triune God, you are in the wrong place. You are in the wrong understanding of the word of God. This, in the beginning, God, because we know when we read and understand, and when we go further down, we understand and see that this God is a triune God. That's how we understand. Who's your God? Triune God. What is the triune God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Now listen carefully now. This is how the scripture teaches us.
God the Father initiated creation. It was through and for and by the Lord Jesus Christ creation took place. And the Holy Spirit created out of nothing, the world was created. Triune God. God the Father initiated salvation. God the Son demonstrated salvation. And God the Holy Spirit sealed us with the salvation and understanding of God's word. This.
Something is now. It's okay. Now we know the message.
Did you understand? The triune God. Beloved, don't forget. This is where your theology must be. You must understand. Don't get confused. The Father did not die on the cross. The Holy Spirit did not die on the cross. It is the person of the Lord Jesus. The second person died on the cross. The man Jesus. Don't get confused.
You understand? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, He created space, time, force, action and matter.
Don't have to go to a science school or science study or go, don't have to go anywhere to do your degree on this. God wrote it through who? Who wrote this?
Holy Spirit, correct. But who wrote it?
Moses.
Which is the oldest book in the Old Testament.
Job. Not Genesis.
You understand? So here we understand it is the triune God who created the heavens and the earth. Now hold on 1 minute. I'm going to put a little more into it. You say, why all in all this? Unless you know this, you won't know who your God is. Now I'm going to put some more now into this theology now. He created the heavens means what?
Jacob. What am I to do now? This is better. That's why I'm here. To encourage you and to tell you. He created the heavens means, you know what? There are three heavens. What? How many? There are three heavens. The first heaven is the atmosphere. The second heaven is the moon, the sun, the star, and the galaxies, and the Milky Way, and all the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of stars. That is the second heaven. And the third heaven is where the throne of God is and where He is seated in spirit. So when He created the heavens, what did He create? He did not create where He is sitting because He don't need to create. He is already there existing from eternity. So what did He create? He created the second heaven and the first heaven. Did you understand? That is why Paul said what? I am caught up to what? Third heaven. That is where the presence of God is.
You see? We must understand that, no? Otherwise, how will we know who our God is? What a beautiful thing it is to understand. Let's turn to Exodus quickly. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel. And I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is His name? And what shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you me to you.
Listen carefully now, church. Moses goes to God and asks God, what is your name?
Very nice question.
Because I'm going to the sons of Israel and I'm going to tell them who sent me.
So God in His wisdom and not applying the fullness of it, we will understand it slowly. He said what? Go and tell them, I am. You know what is the meaning of I am? I am means eternal. That's the meaning of I am. So God told Moses, that is sufficient for the people to understand. Go and tell them, it is I am who sent me. Why did God not expose Himself over there? Why? You know something? Let me tell you something. Be careful. Listen carefully. The Old Testament is God's word inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament is the shadow of what? New Testament. If we don't understand it, we won't understand our God. The Old Testament and the New Covenant and the Old Covenant are two different. The same God never changes. Hebrews chapter 13. Same God who is yesterday, today, and what? Why not tomorrow? We should have put that off. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I put that. Not tomorrow. Why not tomorrow?
It's finite.
Finite, one, number one. And really, if you see, tomorrow never comes. That is why God's in wisdom, he put that. Old Testament is just a shadow. From there we see the heart of God, who God is, in his attribute, in his power, in his this thing. We cannot avoid the Old Testament. The Old Testament is sufficient for us to see what a shadow of God was exposing himself. Now, when you read Lord in the Old Testament, what does it mean? Yahweh. When we read Lord in the Old Testament, it's Yahweh. It is the triune God, but it's Yahweh. You understand? In the New Testament, when we come, what do we say? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's the triune God. Okay? Now don't, just take it easy now. Now here, he says, go and tell I am. Now to fast forward the whole video, we'll go straight away to the I am declarations. So let us go to the I am declarations of what God has kept for us. Okay. There are 23 times in the Bible where I am is stated. In the Greek text of the gospel and other areas, these are tremendous metaphors which are expressive in a saving relationship to the world. Now, why I'm bringing this quickly and forwarding it and going to the New Testament? Why did God not say his true self? Why God did not say? Tell me. Why God did not express or expose himself truly?
This might imply a beginning.
Little more. Understand, please. I just read it. He is going to expose it through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. I'm not going through the full Bible. I'm just running through. He comes into the new covenant and he says what? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. What did he say? He said, I am. So, who is this I am? The Old Testament Yahweh, the triune God. So he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world, John 8, 12. I am the door of the sheep, John 10, 10. John 10, 7 to 9. I am the good shepherd, John 10, 11 to 14. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11, 25. I am the way, the truth and the life, John 14, 16, 14, 6. I am the true one, John 15, 1 to 5. So why did God not tell Moses his name? Waiting for his son to come and show. And that is why John 14, 6 says, what does John 14, 6 say? One of my favorite verses, you also must learn. What does it say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father who is God except through him. No one. So he comes and he shows who the true God is. Who is my God? The triune God. I see, how do I see God? Through the Lord Jesus Christ and with the help of the Holy Spirit. That is how we know this God. This God, we declare his attributes. We declare every aspect of him. Beloved, I'm going to ask you one question now. There was my brother. He asked me one thing. If God is love, why is God sending people to hell? See, all human race will not be saved. Do you agree with that? Many will perish. Many will go to hell. Few will go to heaven. No, I don't know the numbers. I don't know how much. I don't know the numbers. God has not revealed the numbers here. But why, if God is love, why does He send people to hell?
Because He's a just God.
Very good. What else? Now you're coming slowly out with the, who is God? Who are?
Because those people don't want to come to God.
That's why they take and throw Him inside. Throw Him to hell. He says that, no? In Revelation 22 says, they take and throw the sinner into hell. You know why they throw the sinner into hell? Because the sinner over there, he'll say, I don't want to go to hell. And God will say, go to hell. We always say that, no, when we fight. We never say, go to heaven. We always say, go to hell, man. Don't come here again. Right, no? So here, why does God send people to hell? Come on.
Because of their disobedience.
Okay, what else?
Rejection of the Son.
What else? Free will. Okay? Right? I'm going to give you the theology of it. God is holy. God cannot see sin. Now let me ask you this question now. How does God see you?
Through His Son Jesus.
Through His Son Jesus, you have to be a little more refined. Colossians 3:3 says what? Read something quickly. Colossians 3:3. Quickly.
For ye are dead, right? For ye are dead, and your life is kept with Christ in God.
Beloved, you know how God sees you? In and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just say the name. In the name of Jesus means what? Means you are in Christ, not your body, your spiritual being. You are hidden in Christ. So when God sees you, He doesn't see me, Alan, as an Olympic gold medalist. He doesn't see your money. He doesn't see you're a doctor, even though you'd be used as a doctor. He doesn't see your wealth in your 30-40 site and your Mercedes Benz or car or whatever. He doesn't see that. Excuse me. He sees you where? In Christ Jesus. So if God has to send somebody to hell, He is sending and saying, I am sorry, I cannot do anything. This is my law, this is my nature, and this is where I am. I am holy, I cannot stand sin. So God provided a way to erase the sin away. What is the way? Through His Son, He shed His precious blood. That is how we can enter into heaven. We are already in heaven now. The kingdom is in our heart now. We will physically and spiritually one day be in heaven in the glorified body. God sees you, my dear brothers and sisters. It struck me. Some of you know my background. I was an Olympic gold player, gold medalist. I am standing over here and I am declaring God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I understood that God doesn't see my achievements. Please. God doesn't see your achievements. God sees you in Christ Jesus. Period. Do you understand? That is why people go to hell. Whatever you said, rejection of Christ, all that has come. You and I will go to heaven. You know why? Not because, brother, you did something good. Or you fed the poor, which is good, you'll get your reward. But not because you did something, brother Jacob, you'll get your reward. Not because you did something, brother Jacob. No, it is only. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says what? Do you know that? He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might be the righteousness of God which is in Him. Don't boast on your righteousness. Don't boast on your wealth. Don't boast on your positions. It will all go like this. Chuttu poeda, chuttu. Your boasting should be in the Lord. Galatians what, 5:14 I think, or 6:14. Your boasting should be on the Lord. This is where, my dear beloved, the church, we sink in. We slowly, slowly drift away from understanding who our God is. What did He do?
What is his plan? What is his will? So we must understand the theology, my dear brothers and sisters. We just can't come in and go, come in. You have to grow. You have to grow. And please, don't, please remember one thing. When we come over here, we are coming, the Lord is present in heaven, in our hearts and everywhere. But when we are coming over here, as a church, we gather together, we come here, his presence is here, yes. But please, don't say, Nan pallil pova endina. Devan avarendi. Don't say, I'm going to Cornerstone, because God is there. That's a wrong understanding. God is everywhere. God is in your heart. We come over here because we are gathered together. We are told to gather together. We are told to praise God together. We are told to worship God together. And I've learned this one thing, brothers and sisters. After this service, not this service, any service, when we are going out, in our old nature, we'll say, bye-bye, God. Tata, I'll see you next Sunday. Now why are you coming? You be there already. Next Sunday again we come. We go out again, we say, hello. We forgot God is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. This is the temple. We forgot. Let's quickly go. 10 minutes boy, God. Did we understand? Who's our God? Who's our God? That's it. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. Who's our God? Almighty God, powerful God. You know something, brothers and sisters? Jeremiah 17:9 says, you know what? The heart is deceitful. Who can understand it? It is more wicked than anything else. You see, we don't understand what is sin. We don't understand because we can't see sin. We can't see the effect of sin. You know, the effect of sin in a man's heart is like a rock. You know? Kallu, kallu. Kallu you can't hit with another kallu and break it. Can you? How do you break a rock?
Dynamite.
Dynamite! That is why Romans 1:16 says that. You cannot break a rock like this. It's a dynamite. It's the same word dynamite, the gospel. It is through the gospel, through the Holy Spirit, that God broke this heart, which is of rock. What do you think about sin? It's a rock. He broke it and he gave you a heart of flesh. He gave you a heart that is a new heart. He put you, gave you a new, you are a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You all old things are passed away. Now you have God in you because he broke that heart. And he gave you a heart of love and compassion to worship him. Don't take sin lightly. Don't take the cross lightly. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. Don't take the cross lightly. Don't take the cross lightly. It's very, very precious. But don't stick to the cross only. Move forward. Because what are we waiting for? He is coming. Beloved, are you a true believer? Are you a true believer? Alan, am I a true believer? God is not telling you leave everything, go to Nandi Hills. Check Balapur, take one estate and live over there. Cordon off your house with all that. All of this thing, put security, dogs, gates, everything, and live their life and praise God. God is not telling you that. God is not telling you go to Himalayas and do this. No. He's not telling you that. God is telling you in your situation right now, desire in your heart, Lord, come soon. If you and I are true believers, that is our desire to be with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I have traveled around the world in my hockey career. There is anywhere. 5-star hotels, AC bus, this bus, that bus, food, Whatever you ask me, any food, all past glories, this is, I'm just telling you, giving you an example. All this is all what? Dung, dung. What? Dung. When you see the surpassing greatness of Christ Jesus, all about. All this is dung. What you're holding on to, all is dung. You're just holding on to it and you're thinking, this is my possession. It'll fly.
Wait. Wait for the coming of the Lord. Do you love him? Jacob? You know what? Huh? Do you love him?
Yes.
Hey, nobody say anything, man. Yes.
What are you worried about? Lunch or coffee or what?
You think we should not love him?
See, that girl is laughing. She's laughing at us saying, why you don't love the Lord? Is that
right? Every step you take, Lord, you know why we don't want the Lord to come soon? We are saying, this is one preacher saying, Lord, come soon. Lord, come soon. Don't come now. Let me finish my building. Let me finish my career. Let my children go to Vancouver. Let my children go to Dubai. Let my son get married to one nice foreigner. Oh, do this, do that. Lord, come soon. This is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. You know something, brothers and sisters? I was sharing one place about the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on his throne. He's sitting on his throne. I'm just giving you an example. For him to come, you know where he's sitting now? You know why he's sitting like this? Tell me. He's ready to come to take us. He's sitting at the edge of the sea. On he walks, gets up, go. When the Father says, go! He'll come, Thessalonians says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, the trumpet will blow, the Lord will arise in the air, he'll come and take us. Now he's sitting at the edge and he's waiting. When did the Father say, go? I want to go take my beloved people. I want to take my redeemed people. I want to take my saints. I want to take the sinner like Albert and Alan. He's sitting at the edge and he's waiting. What are we doing? What are we doing? Be honest. Be honest with us. Christianity is not some bed of roses. Christianity is not a bed of roses. Christianity is not to come, I'll give you everything. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, which is in Christ. My God will supply what? What?
Needs.
Yeah, needs, loudly, sister. Needs, not wants. I always tell my son, son, do you want to buy something? Yes. Do you want it? Do you need it? Or do you want it? He openly says, Dad, I want it. I said, yeah, that is your nature. Do you need it? No, I don't need it, Dad, but I want it. This is what we do. We want it. We don't need it. The word of God says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, which is in Christ Jesus. That's why Matthew 6:33 says what?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God
and his righteousness, and everything will be added. Now we're coming to the close now. Who's our God? This is the climax. Coming to the climax. Who's our God? Not finished. 1 Peter 1:3. Quickly, somebody go there and read. Let me take some water.
Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Okay, Ephesians 1:3. Quickly! Don't blame me if I take extra time because you're going slow. Albert, I told you.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Good. Now these two I'm going to expand. Listen carefully now. Listen carefully. What is the word of God says? Repeat it in Paul. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Now listen carefully now.
Who's your God? The God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is my God. As a human being, God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came, he became a man to show us the true way to heaven. He said, my God, who I do his will and everything, is your God. That's why Peter says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our God. Ephesians, Paul says the same thing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Beloved, if you stand for the gospel and if you stand for the truth, you have to say this one thing. The Lord Jesus, his God is my God. Beautiful. Beautiful. That is why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who's your God? The God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is my God. Because you know why, beloved? There are hundreds of gods. Who's the true God? The true God is only the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As a man, he looked to his Father for everything. As God, he didn't have to. As a man, as God, they are union, they are one, united together. They are one like this, in harmony. You cannot break the triune God. But their roles are different.
You understand, my dear brothers and sisters? Who's your God?
I said so much, my throat is paining. And I drink some water now. Sometimes I go there and relax.
Who's your God?
The God and Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Remember that. When you remember that, you know what I'm telling you now. I'm closing 5 minutes, brother. Can you give me 5 minutes more?
Because you turned the pages a little late. Not my fault. Not my fault, okay? See, the God, what did I say now? What did I say? I forgot.
Who's your God?
Huh? Who's your God?
The Lord and the Lord. I forgot.
Let's go this side now. Let's go to the end of it. Let's go to the end of it. Now I told you the climax, we're coming to the climax, right? Now we're coming to the end of the climax. And here it is. You want to know who this God is? Take it now. Eat it. Drink of it. Rejoice. Rejoice. I'm going to give you now. One of the greatest tenets of Scripture is the claim that Jesus Christ is complete, sufficient for all matters of life, godliness, and holiness. He is sufficient for creation, salvation, sanctification, and glorification. So pure is he, there is no blemish, stain, spot of sin, defilement, lying, deception, corruption, error, or imperfection. So complete is he, there is no other God besides him. He is the only begotten Son. He, the treasures of all wisdom and knowledge are in him. The fullness of deity dwells bodily in him. He is the heir of all things. He created all things, and by him all things were made, by him, through him, for him. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the exact representation of God. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the sun that enlightens, the physician that heals, the wall of fire that defends, the friend that comforts, the pearl that enriches, the ark that supports, and the rock to sustain under the heaviest of pressures. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father in majesty on high. He is better than the angels. He is better than Moses. He is better than Aaron. He is better than Joshua. He is better than anybody. He is, has no beginning, no end. He is the spotless Lamb of God. He is our peace. He is our hope. He is our life. He is our living and true way. He is the strength of Israel. He is the root and the descendant of David. He is the bright morning star. He is faithful and true. He is author and perfecter of the faith. He is the author of salvation. He is the champion. He is the chosen one. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. He is the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth. He is the man of sorrows. He is the light. He is the Son of Man. He is the wine. He is the bread of life. He is the door. He is the Lord. He is the prophet. He is the priest. He is the king. He is our Sabbath rest. He is our righteousness. He is our wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the chief shepherd. He is the
the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of all nations. He is the Lord, the Lion of Judah, the living word, the rock of salvation, the eternal spirit. And he is the great I am.
If God gives me an opportunity, I'll go on. The surprising greatness of God. Now listen carefully now. I'm going to close with this.
Matthew 27, 38. Quickly, somebody.
Then the few thieves, Matthew 27, 38. Then the few thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left.
Beloved, this great God, where was he?
On the cross, outside the gate, hanging on the cross. I shared with somebody about this. You know, this they ripped his clothes. They put only one to cover his private part. God did not allow them to take his portion away. God did not allow. They would have done it. That is the state of sinners. But God didn't allow. He put that piece of cloth away to hide his private part. He hung on the cross outside the gate. And where? Between beside one thing.
This great God, the person of the Lord Jesus, he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He rose and he's coming again to take us. Are you ready?
You won't say you're ready, you know why? Are you ready? Don't you be there. See, because God will give you the desire. We are afraid of death. If I say, Lord, come soon, please, I'll die. Are you ready? Say, frankly, yes or no?
It's too young.
Too young.
Are you ready for that? I'm not asking you, are you Mr. Ready? I'm asking you, are you ready? Are you ready? You know what? The more we desire, the Lord will give you a life. No, don't be afraid of that. The more you desire, the Lord will give you extended life. You know why? Because you will praise Him, worship Him, and do everything for His glory. That is the secret of saying, Lord, come soon. You will do His service. You will be part of the kingdom. You will serve Him. You will love Him. That is the key to Christianity. Lord, come soon. Next time I see you, brother, you're being honest in the fight. You don't want to even answer the question. We are not here. Honestly speaking, we are not.
Who is our God? He is coming to take His beloved children to heaven and continue in the eternity where we will live forever and forever. Jacob!
Who got it the last
book?
The one that
you read completely? Give you a copy. It's all the scripture verses are there. Give you a copy of it.
Right? Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time that you have given us. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for giving us an understanding. We may not know everything and all things that you tell us. Just a little tiny dot is what we understand. When we are in heaven, we'll know everything. Right now, what is sufficient for us, you've given us. Help us have a desire that we wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory and His splendor to take His loved ones, the bride. Help us. Help us. Help Cornerstone Church. Help Kairos Church. All the believers who are gathering together and worshipping you. We all wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then we can show our love. Help us to be genuine. Help us, blessed Holy Spirit. Without you we cannot. Thank you for this morning that you've given us. In and through and for our Lord and risen Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.